Thank you for this wonderful gathering of young men and women. Help us each to open our mind to the goodness that you have to offer us. Help us to understand that in understanding, the darkness will flee away. Help us, Lord, to be able to be attentive for the next 40 or 50 minutes. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to begin today telling you a story. There's a story of a young man who was standing by a pool or a stream, and he was contemplating, and as he peered into this brook, a scorpion came floating down it. I'm not going to compete with anybody in here. Okay? If any of you want to talk, I don't mind if you go out. And I mean that. I don't resent it a bit. It's all right. But I'm not going to compete with you. Okay? Remember yesterday, I said if you're not interested, it's okay with me. This is not a school like you go to at school. We're not going to try to coerce you into being attentive. You get no demerits. I don't know how some of the adults in here is feeling right now as I say that. But I won't compete with you at all. It's not fair to anybody in this room. Okay? So let me begin with a story. There's a story of a young man that's standing by a stream, and he's contemplating. And as he does, a scorpion floats down the stream. The scorpion gets caught under a limb, and the force of the water begins to drown him. And as the young man watches, he reaches down to help the scorpion from drowning, and when he does, the scorpion stings him. And he jerks back, and he stands and watches the scorpion again, floats down the stream, gets caught under the limb, and begins to be drug under again. And he reaches to save the scorpion again, and the scorpion stings him again. And he does it over and over till his hand is bleeding, it's swollen. And another person walks up by the stream, and he watches him do this a couple of times, and finally he says to him, "Man, do you know what you're doing? That scorpion's going to kill you." He said, "Yes, but he can't help it. It's his nature." And he said, "Yes, but why do you keep reaching?" He said, "It's my nature." Now that's the thing that I want to begin to challenge you with. I started doing this yesterday. Is it your real nature to bite back, to get even, to always hurt others so you can get your own way? Or is it your nature to take the hurt over and over and over and forgive? What is our true nature? That's the way I want to approach us looking at Jesus. Jesus was truly human, and he had a human nature. It's you and I that have the problems, isn't it? So that's the way I would like you to look at this. I'm not telling you something that if you don't do what Jesus says, you're going to hell. I'm going to tell you if you don't do what he says, you're in hell. Have y'all noticed a little hell running around in your mind? Everything's wrong. This is miserable. We had a seven-year-older in the state of Florida commit suicide in the last month. At seven, can you imagine? Ran out in front of a train with all of his friends. Just said, "I'm sick of this." At seven. So what I'm trying to get across is if we will live the way Jesus says live, we will be natural. If what I'm talking about is unnatural, then nobody can do it. You hear me? If what Charlie is talking about is unnatural, then you can't do it. But maybe Jesus just came and revealed what it was to be truly a human. And he set us free to experiment and learn. I have forgiven your sins. That's a different approach, isn't it? Instead of saying, here is a system of morality that I expect you to keep that nobody has ever kept. Isn't that the most frustrating thing in the world, trying to live a system of morality no one ever did? But is it possible that we could become moral if we were just natural? You know, Brian says something that's really significant, and I don't know if he said it yet, but he says when you push against somebody, what happens? They push back. I want to discuss with you four words before I get into this teaching. And that's what this is. This is a teaching, okay? This is something to learn. Remember, we are not in here learning how to earn a living. We're learning how to live. We're getting one shot at you for a week about how to live. Okay? The first word that I'm going to talk about is the word repent. The word in Greek is metanoia, and it literally means to change your mind. It doesn't mean to change your feet. It doesn't mean change your hands. It doesn't mean turn around. It means change your mind. And you remember yesterday that I said that I wanted you to understand change this way. I don't want you to change where you're going. I don't want you even to change what your hands are doing. I don't want you to change what you're looking at. I want your mind to go from not understanding to understanding, then all the other things will take care of themselves. You hear? Because you can change where you're going and be just like you were before you went to the new place, right? I have a friend, and this is a story he told me. For 10 years, I went to a bar every day on the way home. And I drank a six-pack of beer. It's obvious he wasn't in a hurry to get home, was he? There's things wrong in this life. He said after 10 years, things were just the same. So I began to go to daily mass. And I'm going to say this over and over because some of you, because this is applicable to my speaking to you. Some of you are going to think David's against mass. Don't you believe that? If you want to see if I believe in mass, you come spend some time with me. Okay? But I just want to tell you that going to mass doesn't necessarily make you any different, or because you go there, you're any different. Do you understand that? I think that most of the people that I see going to the Eucharist go out of superstition. They are superstitious. They are not going because there's a real presence there, because if there was, when they walked out of church, he'd be really present. Right? There you go. Most people go out of superstition, and most of the hierarchy of the church is hoping that it'll change from superstition into real, and it won't until we talk about it. Okay? So this guy began to go to daily mass. And he went to daily mass for 10 years. And his marriage began to fall apart. And he said to his wife, "What's the matter? You know, I quit going to the bar because you didn't like that. And I begin to go to Mass every day." And she said, "Yes, but you're exactly the same. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? Have you seen it in your household? And here's what she said. She said when he was drinking a six-pack of beer, he would walk in the house, sit down in his big easy chair, and flip his feet up in the air, and click the TV on, and begin to flick those channels around. And one of the kids would come up to him and say, "Hey, Dad, would you come outside and play a little softball with me?" "Oh, boy, I'm tired. I've been working hard all day. I'll do it some other time." And she says, "You know what? When he started going to daily mass, he came home and he sat down in that chair, clicked his feet up in the air, and when the kids come in and said, 'Dad, would you come do something with me?' Oh, boy, I'm tired." And I'd call him to dinner and he'd eat dinner. Then he'd go back and sit down in that chair and flick his feet up. Is he any different? Going to church don't make you different. You're more than likely conforming to what mom and daddy have done, and you'll never get to God that way, by conforming to mom and daddy, or them conforming to their mom and daddy. So when I talk to you about changing your mind, I'm talking about understanding what's going on inside you. Understanding. Being conscious of why you're doing what you're doing instead of just doing it. Like Paul said, led astray by dumb idols. Just doing. I don't know why I do what I do. Can any of you identify with that? Have any of you laid some stories on your mom and dad when it was all over? Say, "My God, why did I do that?" Huh? I see the look of recognition on your faces as I say that. Don't even know why we do it. So to repent means to have a change of your mind. So you can change the outside and be the same person. That was the problem with the Pharisees. Do you know they had 600 and some odd laws and they kept them perfectly? They never did anything wrong. "We don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with the girls that do." You understand? They never did anything wrong, and they were the most wrong that you'll read about in Scripture. Are some of you sitting here like that? "I'm perfect. Make straight A's." Becky, I'm not. But you, it's an easy thing to, I told you, I got a house full of those. Make straight A's. You know, I do everything right. But when somebody steals from you, you get even. See, clean on the outside. Okay, please try to understand that. The change that we're talking about is to take place here. And it's to change from being unconscious to being conscious. From not understanding to understanding. Young people, you have the ability to understand great things. Okay? How many of you in here, your parents just said, you'd say, "Well, why is it that way?" And you'd say, "Just because I say it is." That really comes from an understanding mind, doesn't it? Hey, we're talking like we're God. "Just because I say it is." That's why I've done that all my life. It takes a lot more effort to do this the way Jesus tells us to do it than the way we've done it. A lot more effort. It takes time. The next word I'd like to talk about is the word lie. And I'm not talking about telling a lie. I'm talking about big lie. You know, like a lie being a lie. Here's the definition of the word lie. It is to conform one's mind to what is not real. To conform your mind to something that is not real is a lie. To say something is that isn't. And truth would be defined like this: to conform one's mind to what is real. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to try to help you understand something that is so simple, but it is so profound that your life will not be the same just from listening to it. It can't be. You may go on living just the way you live now, but I'm telling you, you'll get a little glimmer of light into that mind that you'll never be able to deny. It's something very simple. Now I want to ask you some questions and I want you to answer. How many believe that Jesus was truly human? Raise your hand. And I'm going to do this till everyone either raises their hand one way or the other. He was human. Nobody skips this. Okay, put your hands down. Who believes that Jesus wasn't human? Raise your hand. Some people are not going to go either way. I'm going to get out here and ask the question. How many people in here believe that Jesus was truly human? Raise your hand. Okay. We're unanimous. Jesus was human. How many of us in here, let's raise our hand again, believe that Jesus had a perfectly sound human mind? Raise your hand. Come on now. Interact with me. How many of you believe that he had a perfectly sound human mind? How many of you think just like him? Where did all the hands go? Now listen to what we just said. You said that Jesus was human. He had a perfectly sound human mind, and nobody in here thinks like him. What does that say about your mind? It's unsound. Do you know what the definition of an unsound mind is? Insanity. So young people, listen to this. I want you to decide this hour. Do you believe that he was insane or you're insane? I'm going to ask you, this is the question I want you to answer this hour. Who do you say he is? Do you really believe that he was truly human and he revealed what it is to be human? And if you do, then you're insane. Now we found out we're liars, thieves, we're insane. Okay? Well, I'll tell you, if Jesus was sane. Now, if you can agree with this, you're going to find out you need a healer. You understand? Jesus came to heal the sick, the insane. They didn't have the word insane. Or he'd probably said it just like that. Most of us think he came to heal a broken arm. No, he didn't. He came to heal a broken heart, a sick mind. You understand? If he came to heal broken arms, then you wouldn't die. Jesus did not come to heal the afflictions of this world. They are signs that he can heal our heart. Which is greater, to say, rise, take up your bed and walk, or to say your sins are forgiven? Your insanity is forgiven. Which is greater? Most of us think it's greater for him to tell me to rise, take up my bed and walk. You understand? That's how what insanity will do. I don't give a rip how insane I am as long as I can walk. Isn't that the way? Isn't that right? He came to heal our souls. And that's not some obscure thing someplace. That's how I'm talking about our mind, our will, our emotion. Would everybody turn their chair around and face me? It'll make it easier. Because you that aren't interested, you really harm some people around you, and that's not fair. Okay? And I know, I understand that. I've sat in a place just like that. I understand. I lost my crew up here, so the only one I've had with the guts to come back is Becky. Becky, can you tell me why you're not a cannibal? It's gross. Well, why do you think it's gross? to an Indian, a person over in India, it's gross to eat beef. Do you think that's gross? You don't. Well, I'm going to ask you again. Why aren't you a cannibal? Why don't you eat people? Say it, sweetie. This young lady's hoarse, but she said because she wasn't raised that way. How many of you in here knew that? How many of you in here know that if you had been raised in a tribe of cannibals, you would have probably got up this morning and had toe soup? Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you had been raised in a group of cannibals, you would eat people and think it's perfectly okay. In other words, because you learned something else. Okay? So how did you get to be the way you are, Becky? You were raised this way. Isn't that an awesome thought? Most of us in here thought we chose to be like this, don't we? Do you know what, young people? You don't have one thing you've chosen. I'll just about bet every one of you. You haven't chosen it at all. Other people have chosen it for you. The way you dress to please others, don't you? You understand? Can you imagine being caught in a trap like that? You live your whole life controlled by other people. And Jesus makes crazy statements like this. You got to turn your back on your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers. You think he only says that to cannibals? I wonder if he says it to a good red-blooded American capitalist. How many of you chose to be a capitalist? Not a person in here. If you had been born someplace else, you'd be something else, wouldn't you? I was born on a farm. And if you knew the time I was born on a farm, you'd know that we farmers ate every part there was to an animal when he was killed and when he was slaughtered. Some of you parents know that. We ate every part of a pig but the squeal. I love beef tongue. How many of you in here ever had any beef tongue? Look at here. How many of you in here would it gag you if I told you had to have beef tongue for lunch? Ugh. You know, the only difference is some people have eaten it, they were raised eating it, and the others haven't. Do you know there's some place right now where people are eating dog, and it's a delicacy? They are eating rats. They are eating snakes. And the only reason you don't is you've been raised differently. As I said to Becky, in India, if you told them you had to sit down and eat a steak at lunch today, they would throw up. You understand? I just remember, all I'm trying to do is get you to be conscious of why you're the way you are. And you didn't choose it. And I want you to begin to choose, because there is no life outside choice. There is no life outside choice. When you just live what was conventionally given to you, there's no life. Boy, and that gets some of us parents going, they want to be different than me already. No, they're acting just like you. You kids, you know when you rebel against mom and daddy, you know where you learned it? From mom and daddy. They rebelled against their mom and daddy. Right, Willie? And you thought they was doing something different. You understand? I'll tell you what would be different to say, you know, I could rebel or I could learn to cooperate. I think I'll learn to cooperate. Now, that'd be different, wouldn't it, Willie? That'd be different the way Willie did it and the way David did it. And that could be a choice. Or you could consider the two and say, well, I'm just going to be a rebel. Okay? But what I'm saying is, wake up and quit letting things drive you out of your past. Know what you're doing. I'm going to tell you a story, and you'll be able to identify with this story. There's a story here in the South about a family that they had a reunion once a year. And they had a traditional meal, and it was white beans with a big ham in it. So it fell the youngest married member of this family to have the reunion at her house, and she's cooking this big pot of white beans with a whole ham, except they always cut off the hock. Y'all know what the hock is? It's that little piece up at the end of the ham. They cut it off. So she cooks the beans, and she gets to thinking about, wonder why I had to cut that hock off. So she goes to her mother, and she says, Mama, why did you cut the hock off? Why do you cut the hock off the ham? She says, well, I don't know. Why don't you go ask your grandmother? So she goes to her grandmother, and she says, Grandma, why do you cut the hock off the ham? She says, I don't know. Go ask your great-grandmother. So she goes to this little weazened-up lady sitting in a chair, you know, shriveled up from 98 years of living, and she says, Grandma, why do you cut the hock off the ham? She said, well, honey, I don't know why you do, but I always did because I didn't have a pot big enough to hold it. Do you understand? Why do you go to Mass? Because Mom and Daddy did. You understand? Think of your life. That our life is controlled by these things, and we think we're so smart. Yes. How many of you have ever done anything that took an original thought? I made a choice. Think about that. We're all in that trap, young people. You understand what I'm saying? We're all in this trap. And all I want you to do is to understand it. I want you to know why you're the way you are. You have learned it. You hear me? You have learned it. So here's where I want to go from that. How did you learn all of these things? How do you make your decisions? Jesus said this, and I think it was related to what I'm talking about. If you build a house on sand, every time a storm comes along, it'll blow the house away. But if you build it on a rock, no matter how the storm blows, it'll stand. Now, folks, we all know he wasn't talking about houses out there, was he? He was talking about if you have a good foundation in your mind, if it is true, whatever you build will always stand. But if the foundation in your mind is no good, every time something comes along, it'll mess your mind up. Okay? You'll find your mind getting blown away all the time. This is what I'm going to call this morning self-evident truth. Each one of us has in our mind truth that we believe. Do you all know that? You're not supposed to eat people. You understand? That's there in this foundation from which your decisions are made. And if you have this foundation and your logic works perfect, it always starts with this unconscious truth that you have, and you reach conclusions from it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? These are unconscious things. They are, maybe we could even call them your conscience. Do y'all know that a conscience that is formed by your mom and dad, an unconscious conscience, is always bad? Do y'all know that? An unconscious conscience is always bad. Matter of fact, one's an antithesis of the other, isn't it? How can you have an unconscious conscience? You understand what I'm talking about? You have to have made a choice and formed your conscience. You can abort babies or you can not abort babies. And then you look at all of the, you say, well, I didn't choose to come. You can have hundreds of thousands of thoughts go through your head and you say, you know what? I believe I ought to just leave it alone and let babies come. You understand? If you're just doing it because mama said do it, it falls apart. Because our mama said do it, and today over 60% of the people believe in abortion in the pews. Oh yeah, y'all know that the people that believe in abortion outside the church and inside the church, the percentage is the same, don't you? Oh yes. Oh yeah. So how do we get the self-evident truth in our life, or first premises, the things upon which all of our decisions are made from? How do we get them? Becky, I'm going to use you because you're a good sport. You're taking this real good. Becky, let me give you a scenario in your household. These first premises start when we're little teeny, like this or like this. You understand?